This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006!
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat from the Patio Studios, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. That's Randy and Stephanie Green. InnovatedCompanies.com, residential, commercial, or industrial, doesn't matter. They've got you covered with the plumbing team now, heating and cooling, the electric team, and, of course, the construction team. InnovatedCompanies.com is the name you need to know. It's a name you can trust. Remember, InnovatedCompanies.com for all your needs. Well, Benji, in the studio with me on the M4byYachty.com hot chair, Benji Molina.
In the studio.
Just me and you, babe. No Josh. Sick today. Steve-O out playing golf. I know you've got some choice words for Steve-O as he plays a lot of golf.
No, I understand him. I really do.
All work. It's not all work and no play. It's all work and all work.
You got to make it happen.
Well, we had an interesting weekend of baseball at Busch Stadium. Obviously, you were front and center for most of it. Interesting. Lots of moves in the bullpen. Promised moves from Mo in the bullpen. some would say expected after some words that he had said last week. Interesting shakeup to say, hey, we're going to go with the young guns. Some guys that aren't necessarily familiar with those roles, but came out guns a-blazing and I thought did a nice job.
Benji, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in a lot of clubhouses. Does that send a message?
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm down with that, Jimbo. The only thing I'm not down with, it's Gumber being a reliever and Gant being a starter. I like Gant. Obviously, I'm a big fan of him. He has the stuff. I like him.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, he didn't have it so much. He was missing down the middle a lot. So, but Gumber has shown us that he cannot be a reliever. He's not a I don't know, whatever outings he had before, he's shown us he can relieve pitch. So I would put those guys back either in their rotation.
You mean flip them? You'd flip them?
Yeah. But also, we have to wait and see how these young kids do too. Ponce de Leon never relieved. Hudson was never a reliever. I mean, all these kids. And today, I think we have a new kid from the Yankees. Shrever is pitching. Shrave, yeah. So we're going to have to – it's going to be very interesting to see this little time that we're going through for tryouts in the Cardinals organization. But I don't think Gumber's ready to be a reliever. I think he's more used to the starting role. And Gant should be in the bullpen. I will take him at any moment, man.
Well, something's going to give. They need two roster spots today. Carlos Martinez is going to come off the DL and start. And as you mentioned, Shreve.
Well, Webb probably went down already.
You think he went down?
I think so. I think I saw him in the night. I'm not sure if it was him, but you know, I thought I saw him picking stuff up, but it could be something else. But that's my guess. That's the kiddo that, you know, he pitched well.
Yeah.
Fish good, but he's the odd man out, I think.
Well, it's going to take two of them. Somebody else has got to go, too.
Could be Gumber, too. Or Gant. He already.
Yeah, he threw a lot of innings, and they may want to save. You know, it's a shakeup, nonetheless. Obviously, You know, it's we took two or three from the Cubs. I thought we, you know, I thought the first two games done really well. Third game,
we had a great chance, man.
Yeah, good chance, and great just chance. A couple of, you know, I mean, tough shot, tough play for Jerko. It's a play. He'll tell you he should have made it.
I'm glad you said that because I thought a lot of people has concentrated on that play in Munoz charging that little chopper from the lefty Hayward. And everybody's kind of down on him because he should have made it. Yeah, he should have made it, but he looked like he was going to be safe anyways. From the replays that we saw from the top, I mean, it's obviously he doesn't know that. Obviously, he has to make the play. It's not an excuse. But I'm trying to say is even if he catches the ball clean and toss it, he looked to us that he was going to be safe anyways because he was flying down that freaking line. These guys, I don't know if you notice, but these everybody from the Cubs hustle down the line. Everybody. It's like they're timing them. Unbelievable. So when we have guys in our club that, you know, take their time sometimes, they don't want to risk an injury, I guess. I don't know what they're doing. But you see that less and less. I mean, you know. But, man, all of them, you cannot even take a time off in your play because they're make it safe. And then – but I'm glad you brought that up, Jimbo, because I thought Jericho's ball was more important than any other ball, even Munoz, you know. I thought Jericho should have catched that ball at third. He should have never slid. That's the first thing. Should have never slid. He should have just stayed tall, put the glove down, and catch that ball, and he would have. He has good hands.
Yeah, he does.
He's a good player.
On the replay, you could really see him work up to down, down to up. I mean, it was a pretty –
Well, once you slide down, I mean, we had a guy, Troy Glaus, that, I mean, seriously, 1 foot away from him on the left, 1 foot away from him on the right, and he was sliding. But he kicks a lot of ball. He misplays a lot of balls doing that. No, stay tall, catch it. Now if you got to slide to the, you know, 3 feet, 4 feet, that's okay. But ball right to you, you don't slide. You don't slide in your knees just because of it. So that's what killed Jerko yesterday. I think Jerko was going to be the one that could tell you he should have had it, you know?
Yeah, I thought maybe – I mean, if you watch the – the ball was hit very hard. It was smoked.
It was a shot.
And it just looked like it – I mean,
you eat him
up. Listen, I'm not in it. Yeah, I'm not in his mind. I don't know. It looked like he didn't see it very well because you very rarely see a professional baseball player work up to down.
Yeah.
They're typically
and especially him
down
because
down.
He's a good hands guy.
Yeah. And again, there's been some reports that he's – wasn't feeling, you know, he hasn't, you know, he's been dealing with some stuff. And
yeah,
you know,
he was sick a few days. But yeah, if you ask him, he would tell you too. I mean, he should have had it. And if it would have been Munoz, I think it's a little different because Munoz has trouble at times. But Jerko never had trouble catching a ball. So it was kind of rare to see. But I thought Jerko's ball was more important than the one Munoz had to have. They both important, but I thought Jerko's was kind of...
Well, the play by Munoz, it looked simple, but if you've ever... I mean, it's not a simple play. Mm. It looked to me like, and again, you know, this is not a shot at Munoz. He's a good defender. Looked to me like he was indecisive about how he was going to play it. Like, do I want to flip it? Do I want to two-hand it? Do I want to... Like, it just looked... You know, I say this all the time. You know, I just take my own kid for an example. He's a good defender. And there's some people that are obviously way better than him or older that have said, when you can make all the plays and when you have the athleticism that your son has on the infield, the only thing now is they need to see 10,000 ground balls at that position. And it's because they're all different. I mean, they all depend on who's running. They all depend on how hard the ball is hit. They all depend on if it's topspin. You just have to see 10,000 different kinds of balls. And you can kind of tell, you know, that's always the thing about a guy that just plays one position his whole life. Munoz plays different positions. He sees balls differently off the bat. That's not a play you see very often, and it's a tough play. Oh, and it looks easy to the eye. That's not an easy play,
it's not
I can promise
easy.
You.
And I said it on the radio when we were doing the games up there, and I said it very clearly. I said, man, that place is a lot harder than people are thinking right now. And the guy, the scorekeeper, gave him an air right away. Like, he made up his mind. That's an error. He never thought about the guy's going to be safe. It's going to be a bang-bang play, whatever. But He was hustling down the line. I bet you anything, the replay I saw, he was already up over the bag. I mean, like getting close to the bag when he even started catching it. So that play is really hard. He hurt us, of course. He hurt us. But I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you guys something. If you play Munoz and you play him second and you tell him you're gonna be a second baseman, he's gonna be great. But when you have him short, when you have him third sometimes, when you have him second and then flip him up all the time, sometimes outfield. I mean, that is not easy to do and keep up with all four positions. It's not easy to do. So
it's a skill.
It's a skill, but it's not easy.
Ben Zobrist has made a living doing it, you know.
Why do you think that Carp cannot get over that hump on being a great defender? It's because he keeps going to first. He keeps going to third. Whenever they need somebody at second, that's Carp. You know, like, so it keeps away from you getting better at one spot. And I always believe in that. My perfect example is Sean Figgins. I don't know if you remember him.
I do remember Chauncey.
He played all kinds of positions. So he would never be he would never peak on any position because he had to work on all of them. As soon as he became a third baseman, our third baseman, that's it. There's nothing else. He didn't play anything else all year. He became a better player, and he became a better fielder and everything because he had only one position to worry about. It's hard, man.
Yeah, those guys are they're definitely a luxury to have if you have them that can do it. And I think, you know, for the most part, I think he does a good job. I mean,
oh, no, he's
again,
doing awesome.
You know, remember, I promise you, both guys to a man would stand here and tell us, we got to make those plays.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be.
And Munoz has been playing his heart out, man. Remember, this guy has never touched a big leagues before.
I like him. You know, aggressive. And I was going to say, not that any of them are this way. Not that any big leaguer is scared. So, I mean, that's a tough thing to say. But he looks aggressive would be a good word. You would think a lot of younger guys would be a little more, again, not scared, but I'm trying to think.
Timid.
Like, okay.
Very timid. Yeah.
He's like, you know what?
Hesitant.
I'm here. Let's do this.
He's not hesitant. And I talk to him every time he comes to me, you know, and start asking for advice. What do you see up me? What do I need to get better? I'm always right on him. And I say, hey, man, you need to relax a little. You need to trust your abilities. And he can hit, man. He's shown it. He can hit. He can hit, and he could be a great piece in the eighth position because he doesn't understand the eighth position.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, he's
– remember,
yeah,
a lot of guys in the eighth position have the pitcher behind it, so they're going to pitch around him sometimes. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't know that. He's just watching the ball, trying to swing at a strike. And that's good. If you ask Wong about it, one will tell you, man, I got the pitcher behind. I don't know if they're going to come to me or they're going to pitch around me because the first base open, the pitcher is behind me. I mean, he understands that position, but Munoz is not that type of guy. He's a hitter. He's like Larry Walker. You throw a ball strike, he's going to whack it. And then you ask him what he was, he don't know. So he's that type of guy. He's going to be like, oh, man, he threw me right down the middle. But what was the pitch? He goes, oh, I don't know, something's spinning there. You know what I mean? So it might work for the Cardinals to have him eighth batter.
You know, I got to tell you, I looked at I looked at the way we played this weekend. There was a different attitude, it seemed like to me. I look at the starting pitching, and I think of all the young pitching that we have, and I think about some guys that have done some really good things. I think about where we're going. I think about Carlos Martinez coming back, and then I look at the bullpen, and I think about, while there is a change, it's unknown. But I'm okay with that right now for sure because what we did have wasn't getting it done. So, heck yeah, man, let's see what they got. And I like the evaluation portion of this.
I like Hudson.
Yeah.
Came out firing.
Yeah, I like it.
A good arm, man.
I like a lot of the things we're doing, but at the same time, it's like, We're almost there, but let's go all the way now. That's how I feel.
Oh, you know, we still got some holes.
Yeah, let's go all the way, and that's how I feel.
Pham and Fowler are really hurting us.
I mean, everybody. I mean, again, no disrespect, but all I've read about is the resurgence of Dexter Fowler. The resurgence
of, for
yeah, I,
for what.
You know, he's
defense?
Slashing two something. I'm like, wait a minute.
No. It doesn't look that way to anybody. It's just the people that wants to see it that way will see it that way. But
yeah.
for the people that play the game, the people that knows the game, he's still making the same swing since he's still doing the same. I mean, he's struggling a little bit. It's like Carp. We don't want to see him struggle. We want to see him perform because we want to win games. We're just saying what's happening. And fam, it seems to be right in his head, man. And it's really hard for him to get out of it, you know? It's really hard. Like, he's pressing so much that it's really hard for him in his head to get out of it, man. I mean, those two guys are right now they're hurting us, you know. And obviously we're lucky to have Munoz swinging about the way he is at the bottom of the lineup, because when you put Fowler and then you put Pham, I mean, Pham has come up in a big situations many times, and he's just struggling, man. It's hard for a guy that's been used to having a great year last year and then used to being a stud. All of a sudden, he can't even swing the bat. And it's in his head, man. You can see it. That ball in the outfield you see yesterday hit him in the chest when he went to his knees in center.
Yeah.
A ball hit him in the chest.
Yeah.
So you wonder if it's all over, you know, for him. If it's all, like, all over his head. It's hard, man. Jimbo, I'm telling you, when I was struggling, I never struggled more than 2 or maybe 2.5 weeks. I never did, because I was a single hitter, so I didn't have to worry about the power numbers or anything. So, I struggled for a couple of weeks, but that's it, you know. But struggling for a month, I don't know if I could handle that, man. That is a tough one. Those are a tough one, because we have two guys like that. And Wong, but he's not playing right now, but... Dude, it's hard to watch, man. Seriously. And I was listening to how do you say that?
Mike Schill?
Don McLaughlin?
Oh, Dan McLaughlin.
Dan McLaughlin. I don't know how to say his last name, but Don was talking on the radio today about Fowler, and he said, like it or not, he's going to play. And he's not doing his job, that's for sure, he said. But like it or not, he's going to be given the opportunity to keep going. And then Pham, he was talking the same way about Pham, you know, how hard it is for his head to keep going, because he doesn't look right, man. He doesn't look right, like he's in the game, you know. So it's pretty tough. And the criticism that he got for Mike Matheny, man, that was rough. And I thought, I mean, he works for the Cardinals. He's the voice. So, and he said that. The difference between Mike Shields and Mike Matheny is day and night.
Yeah.
I mean, for all these games that he's seen. So for him to say that means a lot, man. I mean, it's a long shot for Mike Shields to stay. But I like the guy, man. I really do. I really like Mike.
Yeah, Mike Shields. I do too. I like what I've seen out of him so far. I like, you know, listen, I'll say this. Right, you know, before we go to a quick break here, I'm going to say this. I like consistency. You know, I like a consistent lineup. There's no doubt about it. But I also believe that if a guy isn't getting it done over a long stretch of time, I mean, you know, I don't know what to, you know, I get that there too. I guess, you know,
a consistent lineup becomes true when you have guys hitting.
Yeah.
When you have two guys, when Wong was playing, you got three. Pham was struggling for a long time now. Fowler has been struggling for a long time. And then Wong. Wong came out a little lately.
Yeah.
But he was still struggling. So how are you going to have a consistent lineup if you have that? You have the top guys. I get that. You know, those top guys need to stay. But, dude, you can't have a consistent lineup in the team when they were struggling, when you have three guys struggling. I've been saying it for so long, and it's true. We want them to hit so we can have that. So we can – I mean, you go through the lineup in the Cubs system, in the Cubs team, a ninth hitter is David Bautista, a ninth hitter. And that kid is hitting 300, and he's a good hitter. You know what I mean? Then you go to the eighth hitter, is the pitcher. The ninth hitter is the David Bautista, and the pitcher is hitting eight. The seventh hitter, it's guys like Almora hitting 300. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
it's a big difference when you have guys like that. You can call that a consistent lineup because it's easier for him because they hit. They doing the job. But when these guys are struggling for that long, it's really hard, man. It's really hard. And I don't know what they're going to do with Fowler, obviously, or Pham, because Pham is it's last year, I think, this year. He becomes a free agent. But, man, Fowler, I don't know. I really don't know. And then the whole thing, Jimbo, with Fowler, that I would love him to do. Look, you're already hitting 180, right? Why not bunt the ball to third base at least once a game? That will give you one hit a game because the third baseman is way up on the shortstop side, way out of there, and you're fast. All you have to do is put the nice bunt down the third baseline. You have one hit a game. One. And then you battle your way out to see if I can get another hit. Or you can bunt again because they don't even change. They did it four times yesterday. They did it the next day before. I'm like, dude, all you have to do is try to put that ball down the bag, and you got a hit. Now, it's not easy. It's easier for me to say. But
sure.
But I'm just saying the idea of it.
Right.
He's not even trying to do that. And when he tries, you can see that he is. It's not the right way to do it for him, of course. And it's not easy, believe me. I know that. But at least try it because they're giving it to you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's one hit a game, and you start building up from there. Maybe give you a better mindset. But, hey, man, it's really hard right now.
Well, there was a couple things in last night's game I got to ask you about that I thought were odd on both sides. And I just want to get your thoughts on them. Interesting to me as a fan that I'm curious about, and the listeners of the show and Twitterverse is one of them for sure. People are like, what the hell? So I got to ask you about that. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Things you can do there, obviously, is listen to the show, but you can also subscribe to the show, which is free. Get a notification on your mobile device each time the shows come out. You can listen to it at your leisure. You can do your shopping at Amazon there and help us with our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, as we try to take good care of those guys. Little referral money doesn't cost you anything, but when you do your shopping at Amazon, if you do it through our website, we get a very small referral. And once you click Amazon, you're done with us. Social media, we love to communicate with all the great Cardinal fans out there. We do that on Twitter. You can find us at Birds on a Bat Show. Like our Twitter page. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back because we want to know what you're thinking about Cardinal baseball. Right now, we have our contest going on revolving around Facebook and everything that we have going on there. Pretty easy, guys. Go to Facebook. In the search bar, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Click on our page. Go to our page. Like and follow our page. And then click Invite Your Friends. Invite all of your friends to like the page as well. And then when you're comfortable, you'll see right there that it shows how many of your friends also like the show. Take a screenshot of that. Send it to us. We're going to be giving away the Marcelo Ozuna jersey on the show next Monday. This will be the week for everybody to turn their pictures in, showing how many followers they have. We've already had quite a few people doing it, but obviously you can do it through this week if you want to wait and see how many of your friends like it as well after you invite them. So pretty simple, and it's a fun contest. And again, that Marcelo Ozuna jersey, autographed by Marcel, compliments of the man to my right, Benji Molina, his brother Yadier Molina, and of course the whole gang at M4 by Yadi, the great company that Yadi uses for to help fund his charity, all the work that he does to help people in all walks of life and all different types of situations. So again, we thank them for their continued support of our show. Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can find us there as well. And you can also find us on the network at lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet, but now home to the newest internet radio station, Yo Radio. Go to the App Store and download Yo Radio today. It's absolutely free. You're going to love it. They've got all the different styles of music as you would expect, and won't be long with some of the new stations coming on board. You're going to be able to follow those influencers live. It's a new feature for Yo Radio that's going to be really great and interesting, and if you're really into those types of things, you're going to love Yo Radio. So make sure you go to the App Store and download it. It's free. Leave them a review if you're enjoying the station. They will enjoy it greatly. To all of our partners, we thank you for your continued support. Adam Smokehouse, thank you for having us on Friday. Once again, did not disappoint. I left there full as could be, needed a nap when I got home. The ribs, obviously, tremendous. Had some coleslaw. We had brisket.
That was good, though, man.
Turkey, everything that we get there is good. The pasta salad, you had the mac and cheese, I know. And listen, we can't thank them enough for their support, and they always take good care of us. But again, you know, enjoy the Facebook Live video on our Facebook page. I think you guys will really, really get a kick out of what Mike's got going coming up at Forest Park. So again, thank you to them for all their continued support. To my man, Mark Marcuso out at Arlington Greens, make sure you get out there and try the track. You're going to enjoy the golf course. Located in Granite City, Illinois, I always say it's a hidden gem right here in the Metro East. Get over there and check out the layout. If you haven't played Arlington before, you're going to love it. It's a very friendly but rewarding course. Can be tough at times. You know, there's some tough second shots there, a couple of tough drives as well. And it's just overall a good golf course, good layout, taken well care of by my man Mark Marcuso and his staff at Arlington Greens. Tell him your friends at Two Birds on a Bat sent you. If you're looking to do a tournament out there, you better get with him early, because they fill up fast, because nobody runs a tournament like my man Mark Marcuso. To our newest member, the Missouri Gators Baseball Club, Gators Baseball Academy, now home to the Illinois Gators as well, as they've expanded over to Illinois. Make sure you check them out. They're one of the premier organizations here in St. Louis. I think all the stuff going on right now with tryouts and all our listeners that have kids that are playing baseball, you guys are really familiar with that. They've been going fast and furious as they've expanded over into Illinois. What I would recommend is to go to MissouriGators.com. Check it out. I think you guys are going to find that they're a quality baseball academy. They're going to teach you about life. They're going to teach you about being a good person. They're going to teach you about being a good baseball player, what it takes. They know and they understand. They've invested a lot of time, energy, and money in their training. And again, a lot of good baseball being played here in St. Louis, folks. A lot of good organizations. The Missouri Gators are right there at the top. Again, that's Gators Baseball Academy. Home now to the Missouri Gators and, of course, the Illinois Gators. Benji, I know you and I have talked a little bit off air. You're involved with a lot of different youth programs and talking to kids and doing all that. Very formidable years. And, you know, when you have organizations like this that say, yeah, we're here to put together baseball teams, but we're going to work on the players' makeup as well, who they are, how they go about what they do.
Their human side.
Yeah.
That's what I always call it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're going to work, obviously, because you're going to be on the field. You're going to work with them on the field. You're going to work with them on their skills. That's obvious.
Right.
But how about working with them as a human beings? Make them better human beings. Treat everybody the same. Don't be cocky. Don't be that guy that nobody wants to be there. And if we're in this together, you know, let's go at it together. So I think it's more important for all the coaches out there, Jimbo, to understand what coaching is. I think you guys are going to go and train the kids. You're going to give them ground balls. You're going to give them fly balls. They're going to hit BP. They're going to throw bullpens and get ready in their skills. We know that. But how about teaching them to treat the teammates good, to treat that guy that doesn't hit as good as your top guy, to teach him to feel the same way that the other top guy do. You know, like make him feel like he's part of this team as much as that home run guy that you have, that main shortstop batting fourth super pitcher that you have. Make those low guys, the ones that doesn't get that high on the skills, make him feel so wanted. They make him feel good about it. Make him feel like a team. That's what they need to work on, man.
Well, that's what these guys are all about. They've got their four pillars. They foster character, enhance talent, build community, and they're there to change the game. And, again, it's a quality organization. I know next time you're in town, we're going to take a run out and let you check out their awesome facilities. And something I know that was really important to you, they're doing a Fellowship of Christian Athletes event. It's this Wednesday, August 1st, from 5 to 6 at the Sports Barn. Their special guest is going to be former Cardinal, and I believe you know Todd Worrell.
Yes.
He's a man of faith, and he's there to talk about all the different things and especially, you know, what it means to him when it comes to the game of baseball and how he lives through his faith. So, again, great stuff. The Sports Barn located in Wentzville. One more time to learn all about that, MissouriGators.com. Speaking of character, good segue. Let's go with number one. I couldn't decide which question I was going to ask you first, but let's start with this one. So I'm assuming – And we haven't even talked about this because it was you got in here right as we were going. So have you seen the video of Wilson Contreras after the strikeout throwing the ball 100 miles an hour into the crowd?
I saw it. I haven't seen a video. I seen it. I saw it live when it happened.
Okay, so you saw it. Okay.
Yeah.
What? I mean, listen. I know you're not here to rip on, but supposedly he does this all the time. According to some media member in Chicago, they've seen him do it all the time.
I haven't seen it on TV. Because
what the hell's he doing?
They would cover it on TV. There's a few points to it. There's a few points that people need to understand why he did it. Why he's done it, at least why he did it this time in St. Louis. Because you have to understand a few things. But first of all, he's a very intense guy. You can see. He's a very intense guy. That goes against him, right? So he's been having a rough time hitting. Very rough time. Very rough time. And then the last at-bat, the umpire called him a pitch that he thought it was a ball. He said some things to him. All of a sudden, he ended up striking out. You know, he is pissed off. You know, I understand that. When it comes to catching, you could see his head. They were showing his face. You could see his head shaking every time that the guy didn't call, which I thought the umpire was very generous yesterday to them, to Hendricks. But he kept shaking his head. So you could see that building up, right? I don't know if he did it again, if he has done it before or anything. I don't know that part. But I was watching it live. And I saw all these little points. All of a sudden, he gets the strikeout, looks at the umpire a little bit, you know, like turn his head and say a bad word or something, and he fires that ball to the stand. Now, firing the ball to the stands is telling everybody, I'm so mad, right? It's like a little child, like a little kid.
Like a child, yes, like a child.
Like a kid. I don't even think that the kid or high school kid would even do that. I don't know if they would even do that, right? So for me to see that this is the first point. Why do you do it? Of course, because you're mad. You're pissed off. That's not a way to do it. I'd rather him throw that ball to the net, right, and be mad. The second point is you could hurt somebody with that ball because he threw it like 100 miles an hour, and he has a cannon. Believe me. We all seen it. He has a cannon. So there's 2 points to it. He got mad and he got upset because he struck out. It wasn't because that inning, because they just got out of that inning very, very quick. So he got mad because his hitting wasn't going well, and he fires that ball to the stands. Now, here's the second point. You hurt somebody with that ball, and you're done. You're done. Like, you're either going to get sued or something's going to happen. If a kid gets hit in the eye, hopefully not. Of course, we're not here to say, I hope the kid get hit. No, but hopefully not. A little girl watching the game for the first time ever, because we've seen that.
Eating her hot dogs. Sitting 3 sections up.
There's thinking, no balls getting there.
And all of a sudden, whack.
Or an old lady, well, or an older man.
It doesn't even matter who it is.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But somebody getting hit in the nose, broken nose, or in the mouth, broken side of the mouth, those balls hurt. I don't know if you guys have ever touched on a baseball. Those things are hard, and they hurt, you know? So for him to throw it 100 miles an hour, it's actually almost like...
It's criminal.
Yeah. I was going to say that word, but...
Well, it is.
It's criminal because you can hurt somebody on purpose, because that's the point. For you being not an idiot, but for you not being smart and being pissed off, throwing that ball, I'd rather him throw it to the net.
What?
You throw it to the net, nobody gets hurt.
So here's my question. Two things, twofold then. Number one, how can someone on his team not say, you can't do that?
No, everybody should go to him and say, you can't do that. Not just the manager.
Yeah, it's my
point.
Not
just the coach. Not just the pitching coach. Not just anybody. No, everybody, including trainers, when they're working on his arm, when they're working on his back, when he's working on his hamstring, getting a massage, or getting ice. Everybody should go to that kid right now, Contreras, and say, hey, listen, man, listen, that is not smart. I don't care what you do, just don't do it again. That's not smart, because today nothing happened. But tomorrow, if you do that again, the next time you do it, something might happen, and you will be in a lot of trouble with the law. So you don't want your attention. You don't want that. If you're mad about hitting the ball, throw the ball to the net. Go inside to the cage. Beat up yourself down there. Go to the cage. And a lot of teams have a punching bag. in their stadium. But why is it? Because they want the players to go down there and beat up on the punching bag instead of doing it in the dugout, throwing coolers, which I think is really pointless. You're letting everybody know that you're mad that you struck out. I mean, is that what it is? You're mad because you struck out or you're not hitting well? Go inside. Don't show anybody and do your thing. So I hope every single body, every teammate, everybody went to him and said, hey, listen, man, I'm not doing it for me. I don't care. I'm just talking to you. You're gonna get really in big trouble if somebody gets hurt when you do that. Because he has a cannon, Jimbo. He doesn't throw the ball 10 miles an hour. It's 90 miles an hour or more that he throws that ball. I hope he understands it, and I hope everybody does it. And I don't think it's smart.
Well, here's the thing. And again, I'm not here to pile on, but this isn't the first time he's done it. See, it'd be different if this was the first time he's done it. But
I haven't seen him, but if you say that, it's even worse.
So when it got crazy last night on social media, there's a media member in St. Louis that was, I'm assuming, in the press box and went over and talked to the beat writer from the Cubs. And she said, yeah, I mean, we've seen him do it before. So my question is...
even worse.
At what juncture does Major League Baseball step in and say, you can't do that? I mean...
I wonder if they already done it.
I mean, it'd be no different than if you got upset and threw your bat in the stands. What's the difference? Now, again, this is a stupid conversation because it's such a stupid event because, well, who in their right mind is going to go, it's no big deal?
No. Nobody's going to say it's not a big deal. Nobody. Nobody's going to say, I bet you anything, his teammates, Joe Madden, even if he wants to defend him, he can't. And he won't, because he'll look bad. How are you going to defend that? Seriously, how are you going to defend a guy throwing a ball over 90 miles an hour to the stands? Like, how a manager is going to say, oh, he did it because he got mad, and he didn't mean to throw it hard. He didn't mean it to hurt that kid. How are you going to defend that? So there's nobody there. I bet you anything, Jimbo, they're working with him. I bet you anything, MLB probably already called and say, hey, listen, you can't do that again. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to get in big trouble with the law. Because I'm telling you, I hope it doesn't happen. But if he hurts somebody, he's gonna get a lawsuit. He's gonna be in the court. So,
yeah, that's not an accident, like a bat breaking or a foul ball.
That's not an accident. That's on purpose. And that's
why I said it's criminal.
Yes, it's very criminal. So I bet you anything MLB probably have step up and probably will step up after this one. But if I were the teammate, I would be the first one on his face, and I would say, hey, listen, you can't do that, man.
If the Cardinals were down by a bunch or up by enough and were comfortable, would you have been surprised if he'd have got one in the ribs?
No.
Would you have been surprised? You wouldn't have been surprised?
No. You don't hit a guy for being mad at – he's not doing anything to your team. Why you want to hit him? Why you want to hit Contreras for throwing the ball to the stands?
Well, those are your fans. I just wonder. I mean, I saw that on Twitter. That's why I was asking.
No, I know it's their fans, but that's no business to the Cardinals. He's pissed off because he struck out. He haven't swung the bat good the whole series, and he doesn't feel good on the plate, and he threw it. You know, that's his deal with the fans. That's his deal with people. It's not. It got nothing to do with the Cardinal players.
Second thing. So let's just hope Major League Baseball steps in and puts an end to this because he's going to hurt somebody. Yeah, I mean, and again, I
bet you they will. I bet you they will because you can have that in baseball. You can have that. That's the – I don't want to call it idiotic because I don't like calling anybody an idiot, but it's just not smart. It's just not smart. And it could go wrong many, many ways, many ways.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, here's the big one for me. Let me preface this by saying I'm not bitching, I'm not complaining. I'm excited about Mike Schild, and so far he's done some things that I really like. And again, I say that I like. I mean, listen, he's the manager. Okay, he knows way more than I do. Okay, yesterday was confusing for me. You're going to have to tell me, and again, we've talked at length here about Jose Martinez and what his role is here, right? Like, we know that he's no defensive wizard at first base. But every time you try to take him out of the lineup, he comes in somehow and shows you why he's got to be in the lineup, because he can hit. Okay?
Yeah. Well, so, he was in the lineup yesterday.
Okay, but hang on a second. Follow me on this. So Mike Shield has been consistent with his lineup, which I love. Whether I like Dexter Fowler in the lineup or not, or whether I think Tom, he's saying, you know what? These are my guys. I believe in you. I'm going to stick with you. Go get them.
This is who we have.
This is who we have. That's right. What you've been saying all year. Here's who we have. Okay, people are pissed off because Harrison Bader isn't playing, but whatever. This is his deal, right? So Jose Martinez, we find out, is out of the lineup because his ankle. Okay? Now, okay, injuries happen. Then how the hell does he go in and play right field on a wet field late in the game?
I knew that question was going to come because I asked myself the same question. He would have been the best guy to ask, right? You know, like Shields, and he would have answered it. He's a nice guy. He would have told you what the reason was behind it.
Nobody asked him?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Because here's the deal. We've seen some – I mean, for a minute there, I thought, okay, he's traded. There's absolutely no reason for him not to play.
Yeah. No, he was hurt. He was hurting. Not hurt, but he was hurting. So they give him the start of the game and off. But
then they play him.
But this is the point. Yes. And then they play him, and they play him in right.
Yeah.
So you have Bader that could go to right and save Martinez for a pinch hit spot.
That's what I didn't understand.
Right.
That's where I was going with this.
And I bet you they probably go over it the same way we are, and they'll discuss it.
Well, because I'm trying to figure this out. Okay, because here's the way I looked at it. Now, again, everybody's entitled to whatever they want to do. Mike took a lot of beef around here for his double switches. Okay? This was a double switch. Now, see, surprisingly, this is one that made no sense to me.
Yeah, and
because Tyler and Webb.
Right, and you're right.
It makes sense now because they pitched him two innings, which I can't believe they did. Which, again, we're back to this. It was, if you watch the way they ran the bullpen, it was pretty evident they did not want to use Jordan Hicks, and they didn't really want to use Norris.
Now, well, they don't have to.
Now, they got Norris up, but again.
If they tie the game,
but
he
they
has
pitched,
to go in.
That's right, but they pitched him the day before with a 4-run lead, which Mike Matheny took a lot of heat for when he did. So they did it again. So what I'm trying to figure out here is, if you were going to do that, why wouldn't you have put Bader in and saved Martinez and used him in a situation where it was a – now, again
– he did it backwards.
Yeah, I was – now,
know,
again, and whatever – yeah, and whatever his reasoning is fine, but I would have rather had Martinez up as the tying runner. You know what I'm saying, if the situation presented itself?
And it's true. You know, I saw that too, but he had his reason, but also – I bet you anything they'll discuss that again, and the next time it's probably going to be Bader going out there, Martinez staying in the bench because of the ankle injury, right?
Well, that defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen. We can talk.
No, I saw it.
Yeah, I didn't understand that one.
But it got nothing to do with him being dumb or him not doing the right things. It's just that he felt that way that time, and that he went with it. You know, like he just went with that one. And maybe he went with it without asking, because I'm sure Okendo or a bench coach Pop would have said something different. I think.
Well, the only thing
I hope.
Well, the only thing I got from it was, if you looked at it, was he was committed.
Maybe Bader being traded.
Because
you don't want to have an injury on Bader, because
maybe Bader's part of a package. We haven't seen him,
and we saw him consistent in the lineup, either one day off or 2 days off, but then he was there the third day. He was playing more defense, and now we don't even see him on the field. Maybe they're trying to save him in the bench because they're trying to get him, you know,
and then from a trade.
And that happens.
Sure.
It happens.
And from a strategic standpoint, I looked at the lineup and I thought, okay, if I'm trying to figure this out, you know, I believe he had already used Garcia earlier in the game. So Garcia was not available.
He doesn't have a big bench either.
Okay, so you can't take out Munoz. You can't take him out. So you can't pinch hit for him. And you wouldn't anyway, because he's been doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking to yourself, my bullpen's a little taxed. If I can, I need to get two innings out of Webb if I have to. If we're not So therefore, once I get past Munoz, the pitcher spot is the only spot available to hit Martinez, because I'm not going to hit him for Carp. I'm not going to hit him for Molina. I can't hit him for DeJong, whether he's struggling or not, because somebody's got to play short. I'm not going to hit him for Ozuna. The very next possible time I could do it's for Jerko, and hell, we may not even get there to some degree with anything on the line. So I'm assuming that's his thinking, because it didn't make any sense to me.
No.
But the whole, you know, because if you'd have put Bader in, you were kind of committed to letting him hit.
And have him running around on the field. So that would have been the best idea. That would have been the best place, right? Like, that would have been the best, putting Bader out there saving Martinez, because he's hurt. He's hurting. I saw that, but I don't think it was a.
Oh, I didn't think it was the end of the world. I just thought it was odd. I mean, it made me. If you're a conspiracy theorist person,
that one
would have lended itself to it.
Everybody, and I bet you anything, they're probably discussing it out there. Like, hey, man, why it's Bader? But we don't know the inside. We know the outside. We see guys like Jerko right now. Everybody knows that he's struggling and all that. He just came out from a sickness, right? He was sick big time or something like that. Nobody knows that. The Cardinals were playing with three guys in the bench, and one of them is the catcher. You know what I mean? So you have two guys to pinch hit and one guy that's saving the catcher. You can't do that, though. You have to have the guys ready to go, and you have to have four guys, I think, or five guys in the bench. But that happens when you don't have a consistent bullpen. You know, you always try to do things that to help out, and we just hope that those guys in the bullpen pick up the thing. And we haven't seen Ponce de Leon in a bullpen yet, but that Hudson looked good. That Webb, even though he didn't look electric, you know, he didn't look anything like any other guys, but he did good. You know, he did two innings, he did good. So they're going to have to make up their mind, because I don't see Gumber as a guy who's going to get the lefties out. I just see him like a starter, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then Gant is a guy that could throw two, three innings once in a while, and that's really good. Like a Jesse Chavez. I mean, Jesse Chavez, he's been going up with teams, and I got no idea why nobody can want that kid in their bullpen for the rest of their career. Like, if I have a team, he would be one of the first ones to look at Jimbo, because he's a guy who throws two innings here, and then day off, and then two more, and then three more. He can go out there any single time and throw you three innings. And I mean, he's so good for the bullpen, and I don't see why people keep trading him. Maybe he might be a bad person or something, a bad attitude guy. But dude, man, that guy, that's what we need right here in our club, is guys like Chavez that can throw multiple innings in the bullpen, because we got guys going five innings, and we need more guys in the bullpen to throw more than two. So, I mean, he would fit perfect here. I don't know if he has the staff to do it, but man, he came after hitters, dude. And I saw him in the Angels. I saw him in the Oakland A's. I saw him with the Rangers. He comes after hitters. He really comes after hitters. So I would love to have him in our bullpen. And those are the type of pitchers we need in our bullpen. But they're going to have to think about it a long time for our bullpen, man. They're going to have to reshape the whole thing.
Well, it's been interesting to this point, with the trade deadline being tomorrow. I just saw a report that says the Cardinals are receiving offers for Bud Norris. I don't know about you. I'd be shocked if he wasn't traded. I think you signed a guy with really no expectations of what he was going to do. He was a depth guy. Quite frankly, I hate to use the word he's overperformed, but he's definitely probably overshot our expectations. Maybe the front office would say that he didn't overshoot ours. Some very smart people did bring up the fact that last year, before he hurt his knee, he was very good for Anaheim as well.
Yeah, and forget about last year too. I mean, just he's doing great. He's pitching great. He's pitching good ball. But I heard Pham to the Dodgers is a possibility. I don't know why the Dodgers would want him, because they have a full house in the outfield. But I heard that. I mean, I heard many different scenarios. But yeah, Norris is one of them. Carlos, if he would have stayed healthy, he was gonna be one of the guys probably going out, you know, and then getting young guys and the main guy for the future, but he's being hurt, so it's kind of hard to trade a guy like that. So, well, it's gonna be really interesting to see these couple days, man. Because Luke Voit went out, he traded to the Yankees. You got many guys going out, man, and I don't see Lyons coming back. I don't see Bauman making it back. I hope so, and I wish. I mean, that would be.
What do you think will happen with a guy like Lyons? So they've got 10 days to either work out a trade or somebody claim him, which nobody's going to claim him and nobody's going
to
trade for him.
He goes to AAA. If he doesn't want it, he becomes a free agent.
So technically he could still stay in the organization and just go to AAA. And the Cardinals would probably let him do that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, why not? I mean, he's an organization guy.
You could get lightning in a bottle and maybe he figures it out. The whole problem with him was he couldn't go down, right?
And, they would lose him. Yeah. You know, like through waivers, like right now. You know, he's going through waivers. But nobody knows what he's going through this year because his velocity is way down. So he might have been hurt. So maybe he takes this and nobody picks him up. He goes to AAA and next year he signs a minor league deal with us. And
maybe he figures it out.
Yeah, you know. So nobody knows what's going to happen next year. But anyways, if you have arms in the bullpen, remember, I think Reyes is going to be back ready, right, for spring.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there was even some odd talk that he could have been ready like in September this year
it's no point right now.
But
it would be interesting to see what they're going to do, man. I like Brevia. I always said it and I'm going to say it again. I've been saying it since I saw this kid. He always give you one good inning and the second inning he gets a little, you know, obviously he gets a little shaky, but not bad. But whatever you're going to get Brevia is going to be the second inning. So I hope they understand that if you keep him to one inning, you're going to have a great, great pitcher out of the bullpen. But if you push him to two innings or three innings, anybody's number is going to grow if you push him to two or three innings anyways, no matter who. But I hope they look at their first inning stats because, man, that guy is – oh, my God. He came over – yesterday, Jimbo, and he just started popping in there. Bam, 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 come on, get me. He looked really good. But then the second inning, he's, you know, got out of it, but still not so great. But most pitchers are like that, like Hicks. Hicks come in and bam, 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 and then the second inning, you know, obviously. That's everybody, though.
You know, as we look at it, you know, obviously the next time we talk, we could have some new faces here. The Colorado Rockies are coming to town. They're playing very well. Obviously, they've got some good offensive weapons. They've got some underrated pitchers. It's funny. You know, everybody always still talks about August, the waiver deals that could happen in August. It'd be interesting to see, you know, where this thing goes. 40-man roster is always in play. I think we forget about that. Everybody keeps asking for Patrick Wisdom. He's not on the 40-man. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out what their deal is there only because, you know, they still have Sheriff that they can move to the 60 and that opens up a spot. I'm assuming they keep that in their back pocket for an emergency.
I don't think Sheriff, he's just starting to throw. Right now,
they can move him to the 60 day. He's not going to do anything till next year. So, you know, you look at him and you think, okay, but you know they're going to have to open up if they want to bring Wisdom up. Which, hey, listen, I'm at the point now where you know if they make some moves and they try to do some things, say for instance they do trade Jose Martinez. Say they get an offer they can't refuse, and you're going to play Carpenter at first, which is fine. Again, no disrespect to Jed Jerko. I would like to see what Patrick Wisdom can do. But there's something about him, and I don't know what it is, that neither the Cardinals or 29 other teams were interested in. And I don't know why.
That doesn't mean you're a bad player, though.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's very interesting to see that nobody has picked him up yet. But I tell you, Jimbo.
I mean, anybody could have had him.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The Marlins could have had him.
But when you go to waivers, you pick up a guy, he goes a league higher. So you pick up a
yeah, he would have had to stay on their roster all year. I get that. Or you just offer him back. See, that was the thing I didn't understand about. See, I thought Wisdom was a no-brainer because let's just say, I mean, everybody wants to use the Marlins as an example. I actually understand why the Marlins wouldn't take him. Look, we got our own young players that we want to play here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm just trying to think of one off the top of my head that might have made some sense the New York Mets or whoever. I mean, Ed Todd, I don't know. There's examples out there, though. The reality of it is you bring him in. You keep him up there. If it doesn't work out, you say, hey, Cardinals, you want him back? He costs you $50,000.
Yep.
And you can have him back, or the Cardinals say no. Then you can send him down after waivers. So you can't lose.
Yep. I don't know what's going on
that
there either with Wisdom, because if I were him, I'll be trying to get to a new team. The same way with Carson Kelly, and the same way with a couple of the guys that I've been talking about, like Caratini for the Cubs. You know, it's another guy that needs to find a new team. Contreras is not going anywhere. Contreras has 3 more years of arbitration, and they might sign him for 4 or 5. Who knows?
Yeah, buy out a couple years.
Yeah,
sure.
So Caratini has no business being a backup. I think Caratini can play. He can hit. He can catch. So he needs to find a team. That's another example of get your agent on the phone and say, hey, listen, we respect that you have Contreras. We do. We want. I mean, that's okay. We don't have anything against Contreras, but my client is 24 years old. Like I said with Carson Kelly, before you know it, Jimbo, 2 more years are going to go by. Yadi's going to be here, unless Yadi get hurt, which we hope not. But unless he doesn't get hurt, he's going to play. And Carson Kelly is going to be down in the minors. So why, if you're Carson Kelly, why not go out somewhere else? I mean, try. I'm not saying it's easy to say, hey, trade me and that's it. No, try it. Because you're going to be 2 years older. Before you know it, that guy from AA is knocking on the door, and it's not going to be Kelly. It's going to be that guy in the AA. You know what I'm saying? So these kids right now that they have the opportunity to move up because of their age, they're young, and they can play, they need to do something about it. If they don't do it, they'll be stuck. They'll be really stuck. Right now, everybody's thinking Wisdom is an old guy. Oh, no, he's an older guy now. Oh, no, he's an older guy. What the heck? He's been killing freaking minor league baseball. Who cares if he's 27, 28? Give him the chance. That's what I'm saying. But if you have Matt Carpenter at third and Wisdom is coming up, you're like, dude, I got to get out of here. I got to go to a team that I get a chance. If not, he's going to go like this quick, and you're stuck. That's it. You're not going to get your chance.
Well, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be things
like
moving.
Flaherty.
Yeah.
Right? When Waka was healthy and Carlos was healthy, Flaherty had nothing to do in AAA.
Yeah, but, you know, I heard you say that. Flaherty, I think his path was a little more defined. It was
But you know what I mean, though?
Yeah. Patrick Wisdom has no path.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, I think, there. Carson Kelly, the only path he has is if Yadi gets hurt. Or, like last year, and I think people don't realize it, and Mo had said it that thing, you know, Carson Kelly's one that said, yeah, I'm fine backing him up because I don't want to, you know, who the hell wants to be down here anymore? The thing was, when you look at it, what was best for everybody involved? And Carson Kelly, I think, came up and shown that he was a little overwhelmed by the pitching at the major league level. Now, maybe they've been waiting, but he's hitting really well at AAA right now. I think now is the time to move. You know, you brought up something today I had not thought about. I think everybody's focused on Bud Norris. Everybody's focused on Jose Martinez. The fact that Harrison Bader has not really done anything, really, you've got the conspiracy theory going today, buddy.
No, let me tell you something. It's obvious, though, but I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to be traded.
I know, but that's interesting.
But he's been playing all along. He's been playing either defense, late games, or pinch hitter. He's the first option for him every single time. And all of a sudden, 3 days go by, and he doesn't even take a hit or go out to the field and play.
Interesting.
And then you put Martinez in right, even though Martinez's ankle is hurting. So, I mean, that has to tell you something.
Yeah, it's surprising.
You know? So, I like Bader. I really hope they don't trade him because fam, the way he's swinging, the way he's looking right now, he's a free agent, right? So,
and who, then Pham?
Yes.
No, we have him. We still have him under control. Yeah.
Okay. So I thought he was a free agent. So, I mean, fam, you don't know what you're gonna get. He's been getting hurt and stuff. So, I hope they keep Bader just because of that matter. Just because Fowler's not hitting well, and fam is struggling. So, Bader will be like the savior in that in one of those spots, right? So, I hope they keep him. I like Bader a lot. I hope he should have got a shot, but. That's just me, right?
Sure. I mean, again, I think everybody's focused on some other guys. And to be quite honest with you, I haven't really thought much about Bader because I'm not sure what the return. I think a lot of times you may think the return on other guys that have put up numbers and done some things is a little bit different. But you know, to be quite honest with you, I'm intrigued by that as well. But good stuff, man. I'm glad. It's always fun having you in studio.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's so much better
You see me that more here than the Mondays. Well, either because when I go back to Arizona and the flights are a little earlier, we're going to either have to do this a little earlier or I'll do it on the phone with my mom, you know, like we used to do because the flights will be earlier. These flights are late night, 7:27, you know, 7:30. At night, so I had time to go hang out with my mom, take her to eat. I went to Rosalita's yesterday, which if you haven't been there, I tell you, I mean, that's one of the best Mexican places. I know Chavez. You guys have Chavez here.
Yeah.
But Rosalita's, man, holy crap.
Yeah, I hear about
it
all the time. Holy it's real
crap.
Good.
It is really, really, really good. So that'll be a good chance for you guys to go check out another thing, you know.
Well, I can tell you, again, it's a lot of fun when you're here. I wish Josh and Steve-O were with us, but, you know, duty calls for Steve-O. And, of course, you know, I don't want Josh in here if he's sick. I don't need to be sick. And you don't need to be taking that back to the family either. So,
no, he's good. He's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he could have called on the phone anyways, too. So,
well, listen, we'll see what happens. Like I said, we're going to have a trade deadline tomorrow. We'll be back on the air on Thursday.
Hey, you might have a Puerto Rican. They have a – what is that called? The sub 23. So you have to be 23 and under. Puerto Rican team in Colombia.
Yeah.
Where they just play the Central American games.
Yeah.
And they're going to be October 19 or 17 to the 29. We're going to be over there. And I might be the hitting coach. Jose might be, my brother will be. A bench coach.
And where's this going to be?
And Yadi's going to be the manager.
And where's this going to be?
In Colombia.
In Missouri?
No. This is...
Oh, this is in Colombia.
Yeah,
okay,
Central Americans games.
No kidding.
Yeah, and we're going to represent Puerto Rico. Yadi's going to be the manager. Of course, he already told me that he's planning on being into the World Series.
Of course.
He said he wants to be in the World Series. He doesn't want to go manage. But if everything goes wrong here... He's going to be the manager. I'm going to be the hitting coach. Jose's going to be the bench coach. So we all going to be representing Puerto Rico, all three together, man, in October, if the Cardinals doesn't make it to the World Series. That's cool, huh?
That is really cool. What you guys have done and continue to do for your homeland of Puerto Rico is nothing short of amazing. There's something about players not forgetting where they come from and it being not just a job but really – part of who they are and what's important to them.
It's really important, Jimbo.
Yeah,
it really is. I know you guys here growing up in the United States, it's a little bit easier. I'm not saying it's easy. Of course it's not. But it's a little bit easier out here than when you go out there and see those people living in cardboard houses and then you see them sleeping on the floor and then you see kids drinking that dirty water. Then you see kids dressing with no clothes, you know, like dressing with the same clothes when you have different types of clothes every single day, no shoes. It was very, very difficult to see that. And Puerto Rico is not as much anymore. Of course, it's part of the U.S., but Dominican, the Haiti area, I mean, it's Cuba. It's really, really hard to see that. So that's why those kids from Cuba that play in the Major League, they go back and give up their time, and then, you know, they try to give away a lot of stuff. And you have to, man, I think. You know, that's what we're here for. And Clemente said it the best, you know. If you have the opportunity to help out your people and you don't do it, you're wasting your life, man. You are.
That's amazing, and no greater example than Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
But again, what you guys have done and continue to do is nothing short of amazing, and you are an example to everybody. So thank you for all you do.
Yeah, man. Sure. I always want to make a kid smile out there. Like we always give away Paulo Comey Santa Claus when we're doing the games, you know.
Yeah, because I saw the thing. That was really cool.
I always give away a teddy bear. I always give away balls, sign. And you know how the kid smiling, it's just a kid should never suffer. A kid is so innocent. A girl or boy, it doesn't matter. For me, I'm very, very, like, it hurts me when I see kids suffering, you know. So I always want to put a smile in their face, you know. This kid was the whole game, watching the game, was very serious. Like, he was waiting for a foul ball or something to happen. And I just call him up and say, hey, come here, kid. You know, here's a ball sign. I mean, he made his day, man. He made his night. So that's what we're looking for, man. That's what it should be.
Awesome. Well, listen, again, thank you for all you do. Thank you to your brother and everybody at m4byyachty.com and all the wonderful things that they do. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm for having us a part of their network, now home to Yo Radio. Download the app. It's free. You're going to enjoy it very much. Don't forget to find us on social media, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Invite your friends to like it. Then send us a screenshot of how many of your friends, mutual friends, like the page. That'll get you those entries into the Marcell Ozuna autographed jersey contest. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram as well. One more time, special thanks to all of our partners, theinnovatedcompanies.com, Randy Green, our good friend. We missed him on Friday for lunch, but we always enjoy spending time with Randy. He's a busy man. Everybody and their brother is requesting him to do their work for him. And again, that's what happens when you're a man of your word. That's innovativecompanies.com, home to the heating and cooling team, the construction team, the electric team, and now up and running the plumbing division. Give them an opportunity for your business. That's innovativecompanies.com. Of course, Mark Marcuso at Arlington Greens. Don't forget to get down to Granite City and try the track. You're going to enjoy Arlington's golf course. It's a tremendous opportunity to play a wonderful golf course with wonderful staff. My man Mike and Frank over at Adam Smokehouse took good care of us again on Friday. They will take good care of you. We got a lot of people that send us pictures and say hi especially when they come in town to visit and they want to try some good places to eat. Adam Smokehouse is definitely at the top of your list. And all the local residents as well, get in there and check it out. Tremendous barbecue. I was talking to Mike about it the other day. It amazes me how St. Louis is becoming a real hot spot for barbecue. It's amazing. You know,
they're good, man. Oh, seriously, they're good.
It is. We're not just saying that. I mean, it is tremendous barbecue. And now, you know, don't forget Missouri Gators Baseball Academy. They do a tremendous job, folks. If you're looking for an opportunity for your son to play baseball, or daughter, if they're still interested in playing baseball, you know, they're equal opportunity, of course. MissouriGators.com, home of the Gators Baseball Academy. They have the Missouri Gators now and the Illinois Gators. They're doing a tremendous job over there developing not only the athleticism but also the human being and helping him become, you know, all that they can be as far as being a person, not just a baseball player. It's very important to them. They're four pillars. And, of course, you know, achieving the goals that you have set out for yourself when it comes to the game of baseball. That's MissouriGators.com. Really, always a pleasure to do this show with my crew here. But the Facebook groups do a wonderful job of helping us promote this. Chris Lawless, we're always thinking about you and hoping you're doing well. We know you're dealing with some stuff right now, but know that we're thinking about you here at Two Birds on a Bat. That's Chris Lawless from Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Now the Cardinals 24/7 podcast, and he does it with our good friend Ron, who also is involved in Team of Rivals podcast, which I know they had a lot of fun this weekend. We had a little fun with them as well with a tweet that I thought was interesting. But Team of Rivals, where they focus on the Cardinals and Cubs and the rivalry, is a tremendous idea. I thought it was very well done, and it always is. Some of the other great ones, Mick Light at Art City Media, who always promotes our stuff. Thank you. You know, you've helped our show grow tremendously. RileySquirrel.com, our friend Nate McHenry, who founded RileySquirrel.com and now has invited us to be part of the Riley Squirrel Report. To learn more about that, go to RileySquirrel.com. Be a member today. For the price of a cup of coffee, you too can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. You know, Cardinal Freak, fans of Yachty or Milena, STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, all the great Facebook pages, guys. Jump in, be a part of the fun. For all of us here, we will see you on Thursday. We'll see what the roster looks like. But let's go Birds.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.